Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Man, I just get take back to the early 90s. When I'm listening to that jam, man, I just need some Lolos, and you know what I'm talking about. No, some of you do, yeah. All right, anyways, hey, I am eager to share some exciting news with the family, those of you in the house, those of you that are joining online. And the news is this, is that last Sunday, man, we got to share the gospel with so many people on Sunday morning, not only in the house, but those of you who are joining us at Lighthouse Online, it was absolutely incredible. When we went back and looked, there were over 130 people who specifically signed up to serve in ministry last week, just on Sunday morning, and that didn't include the number of you who just took it on yourselves to go, hey, I'm not officially on the greeting team this morning, but I'm just going to step in and do that and welcome first-time guests and people into our family. And so there were just hundreds of people engaged in ministry. It was incredible. And then over the last week, we know of at least five people who have said yes to Jesus as their forgiven leader for the very first time. And so we are excited. What I love about that is some of them came to faith over coffee with their friends. Some of them came to faith in this room. Some of them came to faith in a Lighthouse group later in the week. And what that just says is, listen, God is at work in the lives of people, but it's not limited to this room. It's not limited to this building. His Spirit is at work everywhere. And the most exciting news that I want to share with you today is this. Last week, we talked about the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days later, and I want to tell you this, he's still alive today. Is that good news? That is really, really good news. That is what our entire faith is based off of, and it's just incredible. Now, I think, in general, that we love to share exciting news with one another, right? Maybe you share the news that you got the job that you always hoped you would get. Maybe you share the news that you put in an offer on a house, it's been accepted, and you're signing the paperwork later this week. Maybe you're sharing the news, you know, hey, we got the test back, and, you know, we're pregnant and expecting someone, or I asked her, and she said yes. You know, I graduated, and I have my degree, I made the sports team, whatever it might be, I think that we really do enjoy sharing exciting news. And if it's exciting enough and if it's meaningful enough, actually I'll share it and I don't really care whether you're excited or not, right? Like I'm just going to tell you because I'm excited and I'm eager to let you know what's going on in my life. The same exact thing was happening in the life of the Apostle Paul. Right? The Apostle Paul says, listen, I cannot tell you how eager I am to share with you this exciting news about Jesus' resurrection, right? And the reason why is he says, listen, the good news of Jesus' resurrection is this, is that because of him, now righteousness has been revealed, right? Righteousness has been revealed. And I know for some of you going, okay, what's the big news about that? I guess I don't understand why that's so exciting news. Here's why that's such a big deal, is that righteousness is the only way for you to have a relationship with God. Let me say that again, because that is very, very important. Righteousness is the only way for you to be able to have a healthy relationship with God. And if you don't have righteousness, right? If you don't have righteousness, you are still lost. If you don't have righteousness, then you are without hope. If you don't have righteousness, then you are on the outside of the kingdom of God looking in. Without righteousness, you will never see God. Right? This is critical. But if you can get it, if you can get righteousness, hope shows up in your life and it stays. If you can get righteousness, joy overwhelms your life. If you can get righteousness, fear begins to dissipate. If you can get your hands on righteousness, it will change your life forever. Righteousness is critically important. And today, that's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about what is it, why do we need it, and how in the world do we go about getting it? That is the goal for today and where we're going. So I hope you'll stick with me for the next few minutes. If you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Romans chapter 1. That's where we're at today. And we're continuing on in this series called Believe, How Encountering Truth Can Change Your Life. And so that's we're simply walking through the first few chapters of Romans, looking at the truth that's there. We're not trying to pull any emotional heartstrings. We're not trying to manipulate. We're not trying to game. We're not trying to shame anybody. We're simply trying to put biblical truth in front of you, and then you would make a decision led by the Spirit in light of that truth. That is the whole goal. And so I do want to welcome everybody here today. My name is Fritz. I especially want to welcome our guests who are in their house. I want to welcome everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online. Thanks for dialing in. And I hope you're checking it out at church.lighthousecommunity.com. Yes, I got it right this time. Okay, check it out there. That's where all the resources are. We're super glad you're here. And I'm wondering, Lighthouse family, can we welcome all of our guests in the house and everybody joining us at Lighthouse Online? Let them know we're glad you're with us today. Good. All right. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read some scripture and talk about it. Lord, what a great song to sing before this teaching. The fact that we're just trusting you, that we need you. We need you. We need your righteousness. And my prayer is that today the Holy Spirit would open our eyes, would open our minds and our hearts to truth, and then we would respond with faith. We would respond with love for you. Not welling it up within us, but rather reciprocating back the love you have already shown to us through Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we would walk out differently than we walked in. We would log out differently than we logged in today. May you do a work in our hearts and in our lives that only you can do. We ask these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 15, 16, and 17, and it says this. This is Paul writing to some friends in Rome. He says, "That's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And so Paul makes this point about righteousness. And let's talk about that for a moment, because this is a really important word, righteousness. And I think maybe just the place to start is go, what is it? What even is righteousness, right? I think it's a word we'll sing in songs sometimes. It's a word that gets thrown around in teachings and sermons or small groups or conversation among Christians. And we hear somebody say righteousness, we go, yeah, yes. And then you go, what is it? And you go, well, you know, it's really important. You got to have it. Yeah, that's what it is. Let's talk about what righteousness is. And I'm not going to give you like this really technical definition, because I actually think that's pretty unhelpful. They're out there. But essentially, what righteousness at its core is this. Righteousness is having a right or healthy relationship with God because you met his standard. Okay, let me say that again. Righteousness is having a right or healthy relationship with God because you met his standard. If you meet God's standard, then you're righteous. And the outflow of that is a healthy relationship with him. If you don't meet his standard, then you're unrighteous, right? You're unrighteous. So the question then, I think, comes is, okay, well, what is God's standard? What is it? Well, it's found all throughout the scripture, but if there's a place that I could point to say, hey, here's a succinct look at what God's standard is, it would be Psalm 15. The whole thing's just five verses, and I want to read it for you because I think it's helpful. Look how it starts out. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? And so the question that starts off, who can be right before you? Who can have a healthy relationship with you and be in your presence? And so here comes the answer. Who can do it? Those who lead blameless lives. I'm out, right? I don't even have to go further, right? But I'm out. Probably most of us, all the rest of us are too. Let's keep going though, just to see how much better it gets. Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Verse 3. Those who refuse to gossip, out, right? Like something, I'm out, or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Verse 5. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever. That's the standard in a nutshell. That's right. That's how you get righteousness. Now, when we're talking about righteousness, it's not only right actions, because that's what some will believe. Well, I just need to do the right things, as if all that God is looking for is a group of rule followers and people who will just do what he wants. Righteousness is not only doing the right things, and so some people hold that. If I just do the right things, then I'm fine, no matter what, no matter how, no matter why. But do you realize you can do the right thing with the wrong heart? You can show generosity with deep, deep bitterness and resentment within your heart. Is that righteousness? The Bible would say no. Because it's not just about doing the right things without any regard to the why, to the how or to the why. But the flip side is equally true. It's not only right intentions. Because there are people with very right intentions, very good intended intentions, and yet what they are doing is completely outside of what God asks his people to do. So it's not just right intentions and it's disregard for what your actions and what you do. What righteousness is both. It is right actions led by right motives. That's righteousness. And if you want to dial it up just a little bit more, righteousness is right actions with right motives every single time. Every moment of your life, every second of your day, every breath that you have in this life, to be declared righteous, you have to do the right actions with the right motives every single time. That's righteousness. So the question is, who is righteous? I have bad news. It's not us. It's not you and it's not me. On our own, we are not righteous. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 answers the question, who's righteous? Indeed, there is not a righteous person on earth who always does good and does not ever sin. That's the metric for righteousness, right? All of the time. If you want to look at a New Testament example, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, that everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And so there you see that standard again. That's righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, that essentially the unrighteous are awaiting their punishment that comes at the day of judgment. Right? And so, right, it's like the news kind of keeps stacking. And if I can just kind of give you one last piece of very unfortunate news, it's this. Once you cross into unrighteousness, right? Like even if you just dip your toe into the water of unrighteousness, you can never back out of it. Once you're declared unrighteous, you can't undo that. You can't unring that bell, right? There's nothing you can do that once you cross over into unrighteousness that somehow you can step back out of it and everything's fine and you can do a little bit of a dance. Once you step into unrighteousness, you're just there from there on. So what do we do, right? That's very hopeless. That's very overwhelming. Right, this is not the feel-good sermon of the year right now. Some of you are going, I came back after Resurrection Sunday for this. So what are we supposed to do? That's why Paul was so excited to share the good news with his friends in Rome. And it's the reason he wanted to share it with everybody that he came in contact with. And it's this. The good news is this, is that the unrighteous can be made righteous. The unrighteous can be made righteous. This is the good news. By the way, that's what gospel means. If you've ever wondered what that word means, it means a good spell, a good news, a good story. And so that is the good news. And the good news is this, is that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, right? By the way, multiple times in Acts, multiple times throughout the New Testament letters, Jesus is referred to as the righteous one, right? Who's righteous? Not us. God is righteous. Jesus is righteous. The Holy Spirit is righteous, right? So God is the only one who is righteous. But think about this. God himself, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, entered into our world as a human. Now, I know for some of you who've been in the church for a long time, you go, yes, we get that. We understand that. That's a part of the story that we all know. But can I tell you this? You and I have no idea what it's like to be God. But God knows everything what it's like to be you. How do I know that? Because God became a man. And he didn't live in a perfect environment, a vacuum, a situation that catered to him. In fact, he lived in the same environment that you live in, the same environment that I live in, where there was a tremendous sin, there was tremendous pushback against the Lord, there was tremendous pushback against Jesus Christ himself. He faced everything that you and I have faced. Now, I want you to write this passage down in your notes if you're a note taker or remember this passage. It's 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. Here's why this passage is so important, right? Jesus, the God himself, came into our world. He became a man. He faced everything that we faced in a sinful world, in a world that opposed him, in a world that oppressed him, in a world that pushed him back, made plans to murder him, conspire against him, lied about him. And I want you to listen to what John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. He says this, "You know that Jesus appeared in visible form as a man in order to take away sins, and in him there is absolutely no sin, for he has neither the sin nature nor has he committed sin or acts worthy of blame." Jesus lived in our environment and he stayed righteous. He had right actions with right motives every single time. He did it. And so now, through his righteous life, right, his perfect life, his life without sin, his life of relying on God for absolutely everything, Jesus has met the standard for you. Think about that. Jesus met the standard for you in your place. Through his life, he met the standard. Through his death, he paid the debt. And through his resurrection, Jesus welcomes you home. This is the good news. This is the good spell, the gospel, all right? So, now, what that means for you and I is this, is that because of Jesus and what he's accomplished and what he's done, is the unrighteous can now be made righteous. How does that happen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 lets us know how that happens. It says this, he is God. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right or a healthy relationship with him by his gracious, loving kindness. Right? And so here's what that is saying really, really well. Paul is writing, he goes, listen, there is a transfer that happens for every person who puts their faith in Jesus Christ because of his death and because of his resurrection out of his perfect life. The transfer is this, is that Christ takes your sin from you. You don't own it anymore. Right? Christ takes your sin from you. You no longer own it. And what he gives, he doesn't start you at zero and now you have to build your way back up, right? He takes your sin from you. You were in debt. He takes your debt away from you. You now no longer have that debt. And then he gives you his earned righteousness in your place. And so now, not only do you no longer have a debt, you have a surplus. You have overflowing, overwhelming blessing all over your life. And now it belongs to you as if it really were yours. That's the transfer that takes place because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So, what do we do with that? I think it's this, that now through faith, receive God's righteousness. Through faith in Christ, receive God's righteousness. By the way, that's what Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says. And in fact, let's do this. Let's actually read this passage out loud together, starting with, we are made right. Are you ready? Go. We are made right with God by placing our in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Yeah. That's how you cross into righteousness, right? It is by faith that we put our faith in him, in Jesus Christ, and it's true for everybody. It's true for everybody. Listen, last week we talked about faith. I can't unpack it to the level that I unpacked it last week, but last week we differentiated faith, right? We said faith is not wishing. Right? It's not crossing our fingers, closing our eyes, clicking our heels three times, going, you know, if only this would happen based on nothing, right? That's wishing. That's not the same thing as faith. What faith is truth of the scriptures. It's an inner working of the Holy Spirit, and it's a decision that gets made. That's what faith is. Faith is a truth of the scripture, an inner working of the Holy Spirit, and a decision that gets made. And so what Paul was writing in Romans 3, 22, and we're going to talk about that passage in a few weeks and unpack that a little bit more. But this is based off of truth, right? That's what faith is. And so we're made right with God by placing our faith in him alone. And this is a decision that I'm going to trust my life to God and to this truth. I'm going to trust my life. I'm going to trust this truth that God has given. I'm going to let it shape my thinking. I'm going to let it reprioritize my values. When I feel one way and the scripture says another, I'm going to trust scripture over my feelings. I'm going to let it change my values. I'm going to let it lead my decisions. I'm going to let it guide what I believe to be true versus that which is false. All of that is wrapped up in faith, right? That is the overwhelming aspect of faith. Faith, if the faith in Christ does not touch every aspect of your life, there's a chance you have fallen into religion over faith. Because faith is not segmented off to a portion of your life. Faith is not something you experience on Sunday. Faith is not something you experience when you're reading the Bible. Faith is how you live. That when somebody wrongs me, and deep in my heart, it would make me feel better to wrong them back as equally or worse. And I know the scripture that says, pray for those who persecute you. Forgive those who are your enemies, right? That instead of following my feelings or the ways of the world, I trust the truth of scripture. That's faith. That's faith. You have to understand that faith touches every aspect of your life. That's how it's designed. And I love what Paul wrote in Romans 3:22. He says, no matter who you are, this is how it works for everybody. And there's also like this invitation that no matter your background, no matter what you've gone through, you are welcome to the table through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, I know alcoholics who have put their faith in Jesus and he began to transform them in their lives. I know fighters who loved to fight people over anything and every opportunity, say yes to Jesus, and he began to transform them in their lives. I know people who have made different decisions about their sexual identity or preferences, and they've said yes to Jesus, and Jesus has begun transforming their lives into his character. I've also known religious people who have spent their entire lives in church, fist pumping all of the right things, be encountered with the grace of Jesus Christ, and they said yes to him, and it changed them. Because they realized they needed Christ's righteousness for them and not their own. Paul says it's the same for everyone. There's no version that if you're really, really bad and you do lots of bad things, then you really need the grace and the righteousness of Christ in your place. But if you're like a nice church person who was raised in the church, you just need a little bit. We come to Christ the same way, in great, great need of grace. And we come in faith, trusting him overwhelmingly to be saved. And the other thing about this too, is Paul makes the point, this righteousness only comes by faith, which means it cannot come by work. You cannot earn the righteousness of Christ for you. You can't even earn your own, right? Because once you step into unrighteousness, can you backpedal out of it? No. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. Once you get it, you can't pay God back, right? Like there's nothing that you can do in that regard. You can't make things even, right? Well, hey, God, I'm going to make things right. I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing whatever you want me to do, and then we'll be even. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. In fact, Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 puts it this way. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Do you see this? Do you understand what this is saying? That even if you could keep God's law by yourself, the plan was still for you to rely on Christ and never on your own. Right? Do you see? This has always been the plan. From before the creation of the universe, Christ was always the answer. And if we didn't need him, then he didn't need to die. And we actually view the grace of God as meaningless. You can't earn it. You can't work for it, right? The rest of your existence, if you're in Christ, the rest of your existence you will spend in debt to Jesus. Let me say that again. Because that is both a very freeing statement, and yet, if you don't think through that well, it'll kind of rub you in a weird way and go, I don't know if I like that. For the rest of your existence, you will remain in debt to Jesus because he's the only reason you're there. But let me tell you this, it doesn't bring shame. It's not like Jesus is in the corner reminding you. You know, you're like, hey, Jesus, look what I did for you. And you're like, and he's like, yeah, and I died on the cross for you, didn't I? Right? Like, no, he's not Jesus juking you, right? There's nothing like that going on. It's not shame that's bringing, but rather when you realize that you rely on Christ for all the rest of your existence, it doesn't bring shame. In fact, it brings joy. It brings gratitude. It brings freedom. This isn't on me, man. I don't have to figure this thing out. Jesus has figured it out. I just have to stick with him. I just have to walk with him. I just have to let the Holy Spirit change my life from the inside out. Guys, this idea of righteousness is so overwhelmingly compelling and deep, and it can affect every aspect of your life. That is exactly why one of the next steps I really want everybody to consider is, if you pull out your connection card, flip that bad boy over, take a look at the back. It's the third next step down. It's the What is the Gospel class that's coming up next Sunday, and then we're offering the same class again on May 18th during the 909 services. I would really encourage you to consider taking this class. It's 60 minutes. It's during the 909 in one of our classrooms. You can sign up just by checking that box right now, and if you'll take that class, you are going to discover what the good news is in greater detail. And by the way, it's not a 60-minute lecture. It's actually a discussion, right? It's a place for you to ask questions, discover truth, and you're going to learn why the righteousness of Christ is so critical for you in your daily walk of life. And so I would encourage you, take that next step. We'll send you information on how you can sign up, and you can pick either May 4th or you can pick May 18th to be a part of that class. And I hope you'll do that. Now, when you put your faith in Jesus, there's two things that happen. Very quickly. The first one is, as soon as you say yes to Jesus as your forgiver and leader, you are immediately, like faster than that, you are declared righteous, right? In that moment, you are declared righteous. You are seen as righteous because Christ's righteousness is applied to you over top of you. And so you are declared righteousness, you know? But then what happens from that moment for the rest of your existence is you actually start becoming righteous as well. The declaration of a new identity of righteous in Christ actually has practical implications that start showing up in your everyday life. Things like this begin to happen. You start drawing closer to God regularly. The Spirit begins to change your heart from the inside. He starts placing new desires in you. He starts reshaping your values. Things that used to tick you off and really get under your skin, they start to almost kind of fall to the wayside, and you're going, what is happening? That's the Spirit of God at work in you. He's changing you. You've been declared righteous. Now you're actually becoming righteous, step by step, moment by moment. And that heart change leads to practical life change. It'll affect your relationships with your friends. It'll affect your relationships with your teammates, kids that you go to class with. It affects your relationship with your parents and your brothers and sisters, your spouse, the person you're dating, your coworkers, your neighbors, right? Like that one neighbor, you know who I'm talking about right now, right? You know who it is. Righteousness will change your relationship with even that neighbor, right? From the inside out. But I want to tell you this, because I think sometimes new believers especially will hear this, and they'll go, okay, well, so I'm declared righteous, and so everything should be perfect from here on out. That's not how it works. Here's two more passages for you to write down. Romans 7, go read it later this week, Romans 7, the whole chapter, and then Galatians 5. Galatians 5. G-L-A-tians, 5. Romans 7, Galatians 5, go read those. Why? Because in those passages, basically here's what that says, that there is a war internally within every Christ follower for the desires of the flesh versus the desires of the Spirit. And so the desires of the flesh want one thing and the desires of the Spirit another. And they are constantly at war and at battle. And I want to tell you this, if you're a Christ follower and you feel that war going on inside of you, praise God. Praise God. That, you want to know why? Because that means the Spirit of God lives in you. And that means everything. If you can sin, if you can walk in sin, if you can live in sin and actually not have an issue about it at all, I would be nervous and I would ask questions and I would talk to the Lord and I would talk to another Christ follower. The battle is normal. Every single Christ follower has that battle. And if they don't admit to that battle, their battle is not telling the truth, right? We all wrestle with it. It's normal. But you don't get righteous because you get better and you figure it out. You get righteous because Christ applies his righteousness to you by grace through faith. Do you see why Paul was so excited about the good news? You see why Paul was so excited to share the gospel with everybody that he could have? Listen, Christ's righteousness is available to everyone. Everyone who will believe, everyone who will put their faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know that 2 Peter chapter 3 says that it is not God's desire that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance and receive the righteousness of Christ applied to them and for their own lives? You were made for righteousness. Let me say that again. You were made for righteousness. God desires that for you, and he's given you everything you need to step into that. And in fact, for some of you, the best next step might be to say yes to Jesus as your forgiver and leader. Right? Not trusting in yourself, but actually trusting in him. And I just want to say this, if you're considering saying yes to Jesus, it's your whole life. It's all of it. Not a portion, not a segment, not Sunday morning, not your religious portion of your life, all of it. You actually hand all of it over to him. Your relationships, your finances, your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, your hang-ups, your hurts, your habits, all of it goes right into his hands. And he walks with you through it for the rest of your life. Righteousness is the only way to have a healthy relationship with God. And through Christ, you can have it as a gift. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We ask the same question at the close of each teaching. And the question is this: Jesus, what are you saying to me? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him for a moment. God, I want to thank you that we are able to come to you by no work of our own, but only through the work of Christ. And I'm wondering, would you grant each one of us a gift? And the gift would be this, twofold. Would you grant us the ability to see the depths of our sin? To see that we're not just slightly flawed people who need to do a little bit better. I am deeply messed up. Like without you, I don't know how far my sin will take me. And so would you grant us the ability to see the depths, the breadth, the width of our sin? And then right after that, would you grant us the ability to see how deep, how high, how wide, and how long is the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord? And to see that Jesus overwhelms all of that through his life and his death and his resurrection. And that would be our banner, and that would be our song, and that would be our cry for the rest of eternity. I get more today why in heaven, in Revelation, it's constantly depicting people celebrating Jesus. I get that a little bit more today than I did yesterday. I pray, I grant a gift like that, and even to a greater degree, to all of my friends in the house and joining online right now. Let us see that, please. One of the ways we like to serve each other here at Lighthouse is to pray for one another. And so The band's going to come up and they're going to lead one more song. And during that song, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available in different points in the room. So we'll have four prayer leaders. One will be under kind of around the TVs at the front of the room. And then two will be back by the corners of the sound booth. And they will be wearing a lanyard or something like similar to this. It's gray. And that's how you'll know that they're a prayer leader. And they're available to pray with you about absolutely anything. And so when this song goes, you can just step out of your seat, head down the aisle, head to one of those locations. And you just walk up and you'll go, hey, my name's Fritz. Would you pray for me about this thing? And they would absolutely love to pray with you. And you don't have to be a member to receive prayer, and you don't have to feel ashamed to receive prayer, because all of us need prayer, right? I need prayer. You need prayer. We all do. It's okay. So in just a moment, well, actually, let's do this. I'm going to ask everybody in the house to stand. Also, if you're joining online, there's a place at on the campus where you can submit a prayer request literally right now. You can click on that link, and that will come to our prayer leaders, our hosts here in the house, and they can pray for you literally right now. And so I'm going to pray for you here in the house. The band's going to lead, and if you want to go to one of those corners and pray, we would love to pray with you. Let me pray, and then I'll invite you to come too. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, don't wait. We really do. We would love to pray with you today.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.